Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you. So good to see everyone. If you're new with us tonight, welcome. It's so good to have you with us to celebrate and worship our great God who sent forth his Son to redeem us and to adopt us. Let me just pray and thank the Lord, and then I'm going to tell you guys a story. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for the songs we have sung. We pray, Lord, that you would receive them and that you would be made much of in our hearts tonight. I pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to tell you a story. It's a fictional tale called Bartimaeus, A Christmas Story by Marty Machowski. I don't know how we got this book. I think maybe someone gave it to us. Is that, yeah, okay, great. I thought maybe we had bought it and I just made a mistake there. but it's blessed our family. We read every Christmas. So I would like to tell you this story. And here we begin. We do have a slide for this, but that's okay. It can come up anytime. I want to pick that up. All right. But Mary, a boy whined. Why do we have to sing Christmas songs when we can't even celebrate Christmas? Well, the half-hearted singing of Joy to the World by 32 orphan children of Bartimaeus House faltered, then stopped at the question. Miss Roberts says we sing the concert every Christmas because it's a tradition, said the older girl Mary, who was directing the practice. Well, candy canes and presents are also a tradition, Timothy shot back. Why can't we really celebrate Christmas? Well, I bet there'll be lots of folks who are going to go to this concert who might adopt us, said a young girl. Well, be careful, Gwendolyn. I don't want you to get your hopes up. Miss Roberts wouldn't approve. Remember, she was an orphan here when she was a child, and no one ever adopted her. Besides, no one's really adopting these days with the war going on. Why aren't you practicing? A voice challenged the kids. Miss Roberts had just entered the room with a young boy by her side. Everyone snapped to attention. Oh, Miss Roberts, never mind, Mary, it's okay. Children, I would like to introduce you to Christopher. He'll be staying with us at Bartimaeus House. He's been made aware of all the rules, so please make him welcome. Now it's time for you all to go off and wash your hands and report to the dining hall. I have to head out to go talk to the new director of the YMCA. Bedtime's at 9:30. And Miss Roberts turned and left, and her hard-soled shoes thumped down the hallway. Well, soon all the children hurried to wash their hands and line up at the dining hall outside the kitchen. Soon a door opened at the back of the kitchen, and a woman with a sturdy frame and warm smile walked through it. Good evening, children, and welcome to Bartimaeus, Christopher. I'm Mrs. Schultz. Well, after a quick scan of the children in line, she continued, there's plenty of beef stew tonight. Now, where's Bobby? Oh, Bobby, please give thanks for the meal. Well, Bobby gave her a wink, then made quick work of the prayer, and then immediately he stood on a stool, hummed a note to a beat, and then proceeded to conduct the children in singing their mealtime song, all with a wooden spoon in hand. The children all whooped and clapped and drummed and hummed and sang quite beautifully. I can't believe these are the same kids, Christopher thought. He had heard them earlier butchering the song Joy to the World when he was standing outside the music room. Well, soon things quieted down. The children got in their line and got their stew and tucked in to eat it. Well, Christopher sat down and he leaned over to one of the older boys and asked, hey, why don't you guys have any decorations up for Christmas? The older boy said, look around, buddy. It's a tough world out there. Nobody cares and nobody wants us. What's to miss about Christmas? Well, it's not only the decorations, I mean, Christopher answered. There's something special about it. I mean, at Christmas, my dad, he would put the tree up, and then we would all decorate it, and then we would set out the manger, all but the baby Jesus. And the shepherds, they would go off to one side of the room, and the wise men, they were off to the other. Suddenly, Christopher looked up, and he realized the whole room was quiet, and everyone was listening to him. He realized he wasn't your ordinary Bartimaeus orphan. You see, he had just lost his parents recently. He knew what it was like to have a family, but most of the orphans at Bartimaeus had never had a family that they could remember. That's why his story was capturing their hearts. Even Mrs. Schultz was listening in. Why were the shepherds off to one side? A little girl asked. Well, they don't come to visit until the baby is born, said Christopher. On Christmas Eve, my mom would hand me the little porcelain baby, and then I would place that baby in the manger. Christopher paused for a moment as he felt a tear slither down his cheek. My mom, she would move the shepherds closer together, and then my dad, he moved the wise man, and as we gathered around the nativity, we sang Joy to the World. Christopher paused as he was caught up in the sweet memory of his family. Oh, not that song again, Timothy interrupted. We have to sing it every year. Well, suddenly, all the children went quiet because Miss Roberts and a tall man had just entered the dining hall. The tall man stepped forward. My name is Colonel Jackson, but folks just call me Colonel. I'm back from my second tour in the Army and will be taking over management of the YMCA for a while. Now, Miss Roberts here tells me you're nowhere near ready to perform your Christmas at our Christmas program this year. So I've offered to come tomorrow to help put you into shape, maybe give you a pep talk and practice. That'll help. Ah, man, looks like we're doomed to sing that sorry song again, whispered one of the children. Well, you're welcome to come at 10, said Miss Roberts. And if you don't mind, I think I'll use the time to get some paperwork done. Very well, the colonel replied. I'll be back in the morning. Good day, children. Well, as the children trooped off to bed that evening, Miss Roberts retreated to her small office, which was adjoined to the music room. She had a letter in her pocket she'd been holding on to all day. And as she stood there holding it, she tried to muster up the courage to open it. She took a deep breath, tore the flap open, and pulled out the letter. She didn't read beyond the first line. Dear Miss Roberts, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It was a rejection letter. You can go to the next slide there. A few weeks ago, Miss Roberts had received word from a couple in the next town expressing an interest in adopting Mary. But it seems they had second thoughts. Well, at least I had a good sense not to say anything to Mary, she said to the empty office. And in frustration, she just crumpled up the letter in her hand and put it in her pocket. Memories of her own childhood at Bartimaeus started to rise to her mind. She recalled how the Sisters of Mercy, who helped run the orphanage in those years, they had offered to take her in when she turned 18. But it wasn't the same as a family. What the sisters had offered her is not what she wanted to offer Mary. Oh God, please give her a family. Well, the colonel arrived at 10 o'clock sharp the next morning to direct the choir's practice. Miss Roberts was curious to see how the colonel would handle the children, so she left her office door a little bit ajar so she could listen in. All right, children, bellowed the colonel above the chatter. Take your places, and let's give your song a try. He took a seat at the old upright piano, and after a spirited introduction of Joy to the World, he slowed his place to cue in the children to begin singing. Well, the children began hesitantly, entered randomly, and sang with little volume or enthusiasm. Miss Roberts cringed. How could anyone turn Joy to the World into a funeral march? That poor man. Well, the colonel stopped playing, and silence then ensued. Look, he said, I happen to know that every one of you can sing. Only yesterday, I was on my way to meet with Miss Roberts, and I heard singing from Bartimaeus' house. So I walked up to the windows of your dining hall, and sure enough, you children were singing for your supper in four-part harmony. That proves one thing to me. You can sing when you want to. You're a spy, Bobby challenged. No, I'm not a spy. That was a recon mission. Now, I need everyone to sit down and listen for a minute, and then we'll give it another try. I bet it will sound a whole lot better the second time. I doubt that, thought Miss Roberts. Well, did you know, children, that the song Joy to the World is about adoption? Eyes that were once glazed over stared at the colonel. Conversation stopped. He had their attention. Every orphan perked up at the mention of the word adoption. The colonel continued, "Well, let me tell you the story of this great song. Listen carefully, and then you see if you can put the pieces together about how it's about adoption." While suspense was building, even Miss Roberts had decided to lay her paperwork aside and listen at the door. "Well, it starts with the Christmas story. Maybe you know how it goes. Certain shepherds were watching their flocks by night, and suddenly an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. At first, the shepherds were terrified, but the angel told them not to be afraid, saying, 'I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" That, my dear children, is where the song Joy to the World gets its name. The angel brought a message of joy to the world. Get it? The angel told them that a very special baby who would be the savior of the world had been born in Bethlehem and was there lying in a manger wrapped in cloths. "Hey, that's the baby Jesus," shouted Christopher. "That's right," the colonel answered. The colonel continued, "Then when the angel finished making the announcement, the heavens opened up and thousands upon thousands of angels began to sing. The song Joy to the World announces the celebration of the good news that brought great joy to all people." "Okay," Timothy objected. "That explains the joy part, but Jesus wasn't an orphan." "Yeah, you're right about that," the colonel agreed. "Jesus wasn't an orphan, but he was adopted." "Huh? Well, Joseph wasn't his father." "Oh," the children said in unison. Miss Roberts leaned back in her chair thoughtfully. She'd never thought of Jesus as adopted before. The colonel continued, "You see, children, Jesus' real father was God himself. When Jesus was born, Joseph cared for him as his very own son. So you see, Jesus was adopted." "Okay, colonel," Timothy admitted, "you got us on that one. But the way I see it, there isn't much for us to be joyful about. I mean, look around you. We started the year with 32 orphans. It's December 23rd, and now we have 33. What's the point of singing this song? There's no adoption sitting under the Christmas tree this year." Well, silence fell over the room once more. Though Miss Roberts disapproved of Timothy's tone, she found herself agreeing with him. So what if Jesus was adopted? That wasn't going to help the children this Christmas. "Well, that's where you're wrong," the colonel said. "I tell you the truth that God has adoption papers ready for each one of you. They're just waiting for you to pick them up. You don't even have to wait till Christmas." Well, the children didn't know what to say. Miss Roberts was confused and a little annoyed. She was actually tempted to go in and put a stop to the practice. But she stayed put. She was curious to see where the colonel was going with this. "That's right, adoption papers," the colonel repeated. "Let me explain. See, Jesus didn't stay as a baby in a manger, you know. Later, when he was a man, he left his home on a very special mission for God, his father. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, announced the start of his mission, of his ministry. He called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, he gave blind people sight. He fed thousands of people with a small basket of food. He even raised people back to life. Most importantly, Jesus called all people to turn away from their sins and follow him." There were those, however, who didn't like being called sinners. And these people killed Jesus by having him nailed to a cross. But Jesus actually died willingly. No one took his life from him. He laid it down. And he took our sin and the punishment we deserve for our sin so that all who placed their trust in him could be forgiven. The colonel paused again, listening and thinking and looking at the children. Then he continued. Jesus died, but after 3 days he came back to life. And now God promises all who turn away from their sin and believe in Jesus, they will be forgiven. Now each one of us is a sinner, you know, and it only takes one sin to separate you from God. One lie, one angry word, one bad thought. But if you trust in Jesus, God will wash away all your sins. Miss Roberts sat with her chin in her hands, listening. And here is the very best part, continued the colonel. The Bible says that all who put their trust in Jesus are not only forgiven, but they're also adopted into God's family. Look, kids, I know you've been through a lot. I know you have, and my heart breaks for each and every one of you. Most of you have never even known a father. But listen, if you trust in Jesus, God becomes your father. And in that moment, you are not an orphan anymore. You're adopted. I knew there was a special reason Jesus was in the manger, Christopher shouted. A very special reason, laughed the colonel. So how about this? If you can sing like a canary for a bowl of stew, why not sing joy to the world with, well, joy, now that we know why we sing it? Well, the children broke into a chorus of agreement, and a newfound excitement spread through their ranks. Meanwhile, in the office, Miss Roberts was shell-shocked. Somewhere in the midst of the colonel's presentation, God had reached down and opened her eyes. No one had ever explained the Christmas story like that. I mean, she knew about the baby Jesus. She knew about the shepherds. But she didn't know he grew up to be a savior, her savior. And now she was on her knees crying tears of joy. The Spirit had filled her heart just about the time the colonel explained the part about never being an orphan again. In mere seconds, the years of bitterness began to melt away. Quietly, while on her knees, she dared to say the words she thought would never pass her lips. I'm adopted. She said it in a whisper at first, and then she said it again and again, louder and louder, until she was shouting, I'm adopted! I'm adopted! Now, the whole street might have heard and thought she was crazy if it were not for 33 orphans singing joy to the world at the top of their lungs. Miss Roberts was undone. All these years she'd been discouraging the children instead of building their faith. Not anymore, she thought to herself. There will be Christmas at Bartimaeus this year. Well, the children finished up their practice with the colonel, and Miss Roberts left her office and went to formulate a plan with Mrs. Schultz to prepare for Christmas. Well, the next day was Christmas Eve, and the concert was in the evening. Mrs. Schultz announced it was time to leave, and an army of excited children ran down the stairs, rushed down the hall, and nearly trampled her on the way. And though all the performances at the community Christmas show were wonderful that year, the children from Bartimaeus stole the show. There was a contagious joy in their voices. Their spirited version of joy to the world was the perfect close to the program. At the final crescendo, the audience rose to their feet, and the moment they were done, everyone broke out in a thunderous ovation. In the audience, Miss Roberts nodded to Miss Schultz, and a minute later, they slipped out unnoticed to finish up decorating at Bartimaeus' house. Well, everyone talked about the children after performance and how wonderful they were. Many even took an opportunity to meet them one by one. Well, back at the orphanage, Miss Roberts had gone to her room and Mrs. Schultz hurried to the kitchen. But suddenly, Mrs. Schultz heard Mrs. Roberts scream. She stopped what she was doing. She ran across the house to Miss Roberts' room. and out of breath, pushed open the door. "How silly of me! I didn't read the whole letter," exclaimed Miss Roberts. Miss Roberts slowly read out the letter she had crumpled up and put in her dress pocket. And this is what the letter said. "Dear Miss Roberts, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we won't be ready to pursue adoption until after Christmas. But we are so excited about Mary. Please write us after the holidays. We hope this letter and our eager acceptance of your offer to adopt Mary will serve to provide the Christmas present you were hoping to give her. We see her as an answer to our prayers. Merry Christmas, the Stetson family." Well, by the time she finished reading the letter, both women were jumping up and down for joy. When at last they came to their senses, they stared at each other and after a brief pause shouted together, "Oh no, the children!" Well, without another word, both of them ran down the stairs and resumed their work at lightning speed. Just as they finished, they heard the voices of the children and the colonel on the porch, and then they entered the front foyer. "Well, welcome back to the dungeon," Timothy said to Christopher. Well, before Christopher could reply, Miss Roberts had exited the music room, and with a serious expression on her face, she told the children, "Never you mind your wet feet. Follow me right away." While barely suppressing that smile on her face, Miss Roberts moved quickly down the hall toward the music room, and the children followed. She disappeared into the room ahead of them, and as Timothy and Christopher and all the other children turned the corner, they were stunned at what they saw. The whole music room was decorated for Christmas. "A tree! There's a real Christmas tree there!" one of the boys shouted. "Look," another girl shouted, "there's a manger and it's under the tree." "Oh wait, but there's no baby in the manger." "Well, Christopher," Miss Roberts said, "I believe this is your job." And Miss Roberts handed Christopher a hand-carved wooden box. A smile broke across Christopher's face as he received the box. He knew what was in it. He opened it and carefully lifted out the porcelain infant. And he bent down and he placed the baby Jesus in the manger. "Hey, Timothy, bring over the shepherds. Mary, bring over the wise men." And all the children gathered around their own Christmas nativity scene. But when they were through, Miss Roberts addressed the children. "Well, in most homes, it is a tradition," began Miss Roberts, "to wait until Christmas morning to open up gifts, but I can't wait. So from this day forward, all presents at Bartimaeus will be opened on Christmas Eve." The children all hooped and hollered as they noticed the paper-wrapped packages, each tied with a bow, tucked under the tree. "Now there's a gift in there for each of you," said Miss Roberts, "but before you open them, I have two special announcements." Miss Roberts paused for a moment to fight back the tears. "Yesterday, while the colonel was here to help you with your song, I was listening too. Yesterday, children, I was adopted by God." A tear rolled down her cheek, but she held herself together. "And Mary, this next announcement is actually one you need to make." So Miss Roberts handed Mary the letter and asked if she could read it to everyone. Well, the children all watched and waited eagerly, but Mary could only cry. Once she regained her composure enough, she read out her letter. And then there was no doubt that Christmas had finally come to Bartimaeus. Everyone danced and shouted, and the children had to actually be reminded to open up their gifts. Each one had received a packet of cookies, ginger cookies from Mrs. Schultz, and a gift. During the celebrations, the colonel lightly touched Mrs. Roberts' arm and said, "Well done, Elizabeth." Well, the Great War ended the next year before Christmas. The colonel stayed on to help Elizabeth Roberts place the children in good homes. By next Christmas, none of the orphans remained. All had been adopted into loving families. And they all left Bartimaeus, all except one. Christopher remained there. But he too was adopted by Colonel Jackson and his new bride, Elizabeth. Orphans, they still passed through Bartimaeus' house, but their stays were short. A brief pause on the way to a new family. So there is our story of Bartimaeus. Now, the joy of Christmas that Miss Roberts and the children discovered is found in the manger and the good news of great joy it announces to the world. This is good news of great joy because in the manger is our Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the angels announced. Jesus is our Savior. He came into the world to save us because we actually need saving. We need to be saved from the punishment our sins deserve. We sin, we all sin, we all disobey God's commands, we actually all reject God. In fact, we are enslaved to our own sin. We're helpless. We can't save ourselves. But rather than just forsaking us, God in his love, his great love, sent his son, born as a baby, fully human, in a manger, so that when the time was right, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world would die on a cross as a substitute for me and for you. He died the death we deserve so that all who place their trust in him could be forgiven of all their sin. So if you're here tonight and you have actually never talked to God and acknowledged your own indebtedness to him, your own sin, I implore you to do that today. Do that tonight. Repent and believe that Jesus is God's son, that Jesus is who he says he is, and he will wash all your sins away. And the real joy of Christmas is that that's not even the best part. God did not send Jesus merely to purchase our pardon, you know, and then just leave it up to us to, you know, maintain our good favor with God. You know, if we think that, we've actually missed the main purpose of Christmas. God sent his son to redeem us, to purchase us from slavery to sin, so that we could be forgiven, and then to make us adopted sons and daughters, to invite us into his family. So are you adopted tonight? Are you a son or daughter of God? If the answer is no, do you want to be? Do you want to know God's endless love for you as his son and daughter? Well, if you put your trust in Jesus and continue to do so while you draw breath, God becomes your father, and in that moment, you are no longer a spiritual orphan anymore. You are adopted. So the Christmas story is actually a story about adoption, our adoption, if we come to receive the life that Jesus offers in his name. Let's just bow in a word of prayer now, and we're going to continue in song and worship. Oh God, what can we say about your unfathomable generosity? All the praises we can offer do not suffice. Yet we thank you for the abundance of your immeasurable goodness to us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.